3. Once more that day, Turo was sitting at his desk. He was relaxed, at ease. There was a saucepan of Kerbango there, and he wasn't even chewing on it. His pen moved easily on the report. This changed the whole thing. It was very simple. Despite warning Numph to be watchful, copy of warning enclosed, due to the number of criminals in the workforce, a criminal whose papers said his name was Snitch had gotten into the offices with probable intent to rob and walked in on Numph, who had shot him. Before he died, the criminal had shot Numph. Witnessed statements to hand and enclosed. The personnel department in the home office could possibly institute physical examinations, as this was the second branded criminal received in recent drafts of personnel. It was, of course, necessary for the company to make a profit, and understandable that this was a very out-of-the-way planet, but it had only one security officer. But the matter was actually of no great importance, and one would not venture to criticize the practices of the home office, since they knew what they were doing. Situation well in hand. A recently appointed deputy had competently assumed the duties of planet head. The crime was simple and routine. Bodies en route at next semi-annual firing. That was that. An expansive Turl finished packaging the evidence and picto-recorder discs. Nobody would be interested anyway. He called Chirk and, with a playful paw on her rump, gave her the package to log and include in the dispatch box. She left, and he glanced at the clock. He was overdue at the receiving machine. He went over to it and punched the coordinates of the pictures he wanted, and they came whirring forth. He glanced at them casually. The drone firing schedule had to be confirmed. Yes, they were up there at the mine site, working with the cage. Suddenly, he sat forward and spread the pictures out. They had a blade scraper operating down at the bottom of the cliff, turning over the rubble. Yes, a crane was raising an ore net. What was that in the basket? He punched rapid keys on the machine and got a closer view picture. He looked at it. He looked at the analysis squiggle at the side. He didn't have to analyze that. He knew it. It was gold. They were recovering the load out of the slide. He stood up and examined the pictures more closely. What was this over at the side of the slide? Ah, the mangled remains of dead bodies. They'd lost a crew in the drift, and with stupid sentimentality, they were also digging them out. Why bother? They didn't have to ship them to home planet. Who cared about the corpses of animals? But wait, that meant they must have been up to the load from behind. And what were they doing with the cage? Still mining? Ah, pockets. They must have spotted another pocket on that vein up inside the mountain. The mining man in Turl told him that was a good possibility. He looked at the gold in the ore net. Several hundred pounds of it? He crashed down in his chair and smiled. He began to chuckle. That drone. He didn't have to fire it. It could wait till day 93. Then, for sure. But not now. No, by the crap nebula, not now. How wonderful he felt. It had been ages since his head hadn't ached. He reached out a paw. The talons were steady as bedrock. 4. Turl bounced up, pulsing with good cheer and energy. He grabbed some equipment and packages. He still had a schedule, but it was different. He sailed through the compound and into the office of the planet head. Attendants had finished mopping up blood, but there were some stains left. The atmosphere was a bit sharp with cleaning fluids. There sat Care. The midget cyclo looked a bit funny and depressed, lost in the immensity of the chair back of the vast square yardage of the desk.
"Good afternoon, your planet ship," caroled Terrell.
"Would you close the door, please?" said Care faintly.
Turl took a probe out from under his arm and waved it about to make sure the place hadn't been bugged overnight. He was almost careless about it. He felt free.
"I'm not very popular," said Care. "People haven't been very polite to me so far. They wonder why Numph appointed me his deputy. I wonder myself. I'm an operations officer, not an administrator, and now all of a sudden, I'm head of the planet.
Turl, with a wonderful smile on his mouth bones, stepped closer.
Now, what I'm going to tell you, Care, I will deny emphatically I ever said. And there is no record, and you'll forget this conversation.
Care was instantly alert. As a hardened criminal, he knew better than to trust security chiefs. Care wriggled in the chair that was too big for him.
Numph, said Turl, didn't appoint you.
Care got very alert.
I did, said Turl. And as long as you do exactly what I tell you to do, without ever telling anyone I told you to do it, you will be fine. More than fine. Wonderful.
They'll just send in a new planet head on day 92, said Care. That's only a couple of months off. And he'll find out if I've done anything wrong. Yes, and he may find out I'm not welcome in certain universes.
No, Care. I don't think you'll be replaced. In fact, I am very, very certain you will not be. You're good for this post for years.
Care was wary and puzzled, but Turl seemed so confident that he listened cautiously. Turl opened an envelope and fanned out the evidence he had gathered on Numph. Care looked at it with slowly widening eyes.
100 million credit a year swindle, said Turl, of which Numph got half. You're not only here for years, but you'll be rich enough when you do go home to buy your record clean and live in luxury.
The Cyclo Midget studied it. It was a little hard to grasp at first. Nipe, Numph's nephew, was crediting full pay to the employees of this planet, but was in fact diverting half the pay and all the bonuses into private accounts for himself and Numph. He finally got that. All he had to do was to continue to deny bonuses and pay only half pay.
Why are you doing this? Said Care. Do you get a slice of this? Is that it?
Oh, no. I don't even want a quarter of a credit of it. It's all yours. But, of course, I am really doing it because I am your friend. Haven't I always protected you?
You've got enough blackmail on me already to get me vaporized, said Care. Why this, too?
Now, Care, said Turl reprovingly.
Then he decided it was time to level.
I want you to issue any order I tell you to, and to give me an order in 6 months to go home.
That's fine, said Care. I can even issue orders not to countermand any orders you issue, but I still don't see that I won't be relieved in 2 months.
Turl got down to business.
This is the code Numph used. Vehicles and use numbers. You won't be relieved. Nipe, his nephew, has influence. This is your first coded message to Nipe.
He put it on the desk, reminding himself to destroy his own handwritten version as soon as Care had it encoded in his. The message said, Numph assassinated by escaped criminal. New situation created. He appointed me especially to carry on. Arrangements are as always. Deposit his share to my numbered account, Galaxy Trust Company. Condolences. Happy future association. Care.
I don't have a numbered account, said Care.
You will. You will. I have all the papers for you, and they will go out in the next transshipment. Foolproof.
Care looked back at the message. For the first time since the murders, he began to smile. He sat back, seeming to get bigger. Suddenly, he reached forward and slapped paws with Turl, symbolizing full-hearted agreement. When Turl left him, Care had swelled up so much he was practically filling the chair. The only reservation Turl had as he swept on to his next scheduled action was that the dim-witted little midget might overreach himself with pomposity and make some clownish mistake. But he'd keep an eye on him. He'd keep a close eye on him. And who cared what happened to Care once Turl was off this planet? Any potential alliance Johnny might have had with Kerr was wholly and totally severed. 5. Turl's next actions were carefully observed by keen Scottish eyes in the hills. Late the previous afternoon, Turl had gone tearing off in an executive tank at high speed. He had headed toward the ancient city to the north and entered it. About noon, he left the ruins there and came roaring down the remains of the overgrown highway to the academy. Turl got out of the tank, faceplate of the breathe mask glinting in the sun, and strode in a free and relaxed fashion in the direction of the sentry who came forward. There was very little at the academy now. A housekeeping unit and 3 Scots sentries, usually light-duty invalids, recovering from some mishap. This one had his arm in splints and in a sling.
"What can I do for you, sir?" said the sentry in acceptable cyclo.
Turl looked around. No vehicles left here. No, there was the tail of a small passenger plane. Must have them all up at the mine. Probably even running out of them. He looked at the sentry. Probably running out of personnel, too, if Turl knew anything about the dangers of mining. Well, no matter. There were still some of them left alive. He was wondering how to communicate with this animal. It had not registered on him that he had been addressed in Cyclo, simply because he didn't believe it. Animals were stupid. Turl made gestures with his paws, indicating the height and beard of the head animal. He went through a pantomime of looking around, sweeping his arm toward himself and pointing at the spot beside him. Very difficult to get anything across to an animal.
"You probably mean Johnny," said the sentry in Cyclo.
Turl nodded absently and wandered off. He'd probably have to wait until they flew up to the mine and brought him back, but that was quite all right. He realized with an expansive good feeling that he now had lots of time. But more than that, he had freedom. He could go where he pleased and do what he pleased. He flexed his arms and wandered off. It might be an accursed planet, but he had space now. It was as though invisible walls had been moved off him and miles away. Some horses were grazing in a nearby park. Turl, to pass the time, practiced drawing his belt gun and firing. One by one he broke their legs. The resulting screaming of the agonized mounts was quite satisfactory. He was just as fast on the draw as ever, just as accurate. At 200 yards, even. A black horse, 4 draws, 4 fires. The horse was a skidding cloud of snow. What a caterwaul. Delicious. Johnny's voice behind him was a bit hard to hear in the racket, but it didn't surprise Turl.